Welcome to the Kidmen Huddle, part of the Kids Matter Podcast Network. Gather round, Kidmen leaders, and be encouraged and equipped as you build the kingdom. Now here's your host, Amber Pike.
Welcome to the Kidmen Huddle. So pretty much across the nation, we were expecting this big Snowmageddon 2021, and where I'm at, it was a letdown. But it's episode 20 of the Kidmen Huddle. Woo-woo! So that's so very exciting, much more exciting than the pathetic Snowmageddon. And I wanted to do something special because 20 episodes, I think, is a pretty big deal. So I want to do a giveaway. Hopefully you've listened to previous episodes and you know that I have a book with Rose Publishing, Exploring the Bible Through History. So I want to do a giveaway. On Facebook and Instagram, you'll see an image telling you to share about the Kidmen Huddle. I want you to tag a friend that might enjoy listening to this podcast. And then next week on episode 2021, no, sorry, it is 2021, on episode 21, I'm going to announce who the winner is, and I'm going to mail you a copy of my book, Exploring the Bible Through History. I hope you love it. It was so fun to write. And yeah, I just want to make episode 20 kind of special. So tag a friend when you see that image. Even if you don't want to win a copy of my book, which, I mean, come on, why wouldn't you? I would love for you to tell some more people about the podcast and we can just work on growing the kingdom together. But I like writing curriculum. So my question for you is, how do you choose what curriculum you teach? Now, I find I'm very picky. When I first started out in ministry a decade and a half ago, I think I switched curriculums like every 9 weeks or so because I just couldn't find any that I loved and loved after like two lessons. I look for curriculum that is biblically sound. I want it to teach the biblical narrative, to teach the Bible as story, not just kind of episodic where it's teaching about a person and a person or a story and it jumps around. I want it biblically sound, teaching the narrative, and I don't want no weak sauce. I want those spiritual meat and potatoes. I want my curriculum deep. I want theology taught. I use Answers Bible curriculum for Sunday school, and the very first lesson for preschoolers is teaching kids that God is omnipotent. That's the stuff I want. I want deep things. I don't want them too kiddy. I don't like it when the activities and the themes are really under the age level. I used one once for the fifth graders, you know, the preteens. The activity was to have them bark like doggies to work on their memory verse. And I'm like, really? Price is also a huge factor for me, being at a smaller church with a budget. We have an awesome budget. My church rocks. But we still have a budget, and I just can't justify paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars every couple weeks. So price is a factor. And I want them to be engaging. I like some videos in my curriculum, but I don't want it video-led. You know, if you do video-led, it's, well, why'd you bother to show up? That's my opinion. Some of you might like completely video-led. I know, COVID, different story altogether, but kids want you to teach. But videos, they're not a deal-breaker for me. I do curriculum without. I do some with. Honestly, I see the benefit of shaking things up. So what about you? What kind of curriculum do you use? We just sent this issue of Kids Matter magazine off to the printer, like within the last 2 days, and it's our big spring curriculum issue. So maybe you're in the market for a new curriculum. You might get some awesome ideas from that issue. Maybe you create your own. Maybe you hop around to keep things fresh. Hey, if you do, I can recommend a really awesome lesson book. It's all about the narrative of the Bible, the author, Amber Pike. She did a great job on this. But whatever you're choosing for your curriculum, there are some non-negotiables. And for me, one non-negotiable with curriculum is how they address salvation for children. Now, today's topic is a heavy topic, and there is a chance that I might step on some of your toes. But I feel very strongly about the importance of how salvation is handled for kids. I see a lot of churches get it wrong. I see a lot of senior pastors get it wrong. So I'll start out by prefacing my opinion on age. I truly believe that young children are capable of genuine salvation. I myself was genuinely saved at 5 years old. But I have seen and heard of, and I've actually even served under pastors that didn't feel that young children can be saved. Well, why not? My Bible doesn't give a magic age in which salvation is allowed. And statistically, we know that most children accept Christ before they turn 12 years old. But the flip side is that the risk is the children are too young, and they might not understand what they're asking, or it might not actually be the child doing the asking. So I want to break down this issue. Even though I believe children, very young children, are capable of the Spirit moving in their lives and hearts and them accepting Christ. But what does Scripture say? Let's start there. Well, Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. These two verses give you a key piece of information, crucial information to salvation. It is a choice that an individual must make on their own. I say that again, because this is key. Salvation is a choice that an individual has to make on their own. For this reason, I do not believe in infant baptism. I wholeheartedly support dedications, but a dedication does not save a child, because an infant cannot choose whether they want to follow Christ or not. You have to be of the age and the sound mind to decide for yourself that you want to follow Christ. Now, people who are not capable of making that decision, like handicapped people, completely different story. I believe that they're in heaven because they're not able to make that sound decision on their own. Cognitively, if you're not able to understand sin and salvation and your need for salvation, I truly do not believe our loving God would sentence you to an eternity in hell. But parents, you can't make the decision for your kids to follow Christ. It has to be their decision. And I'm betting some of you, Kidmen leaders, you have probably encountered this. Maybe all of you. Have you had that excited parent or grandparent set up the meeting with you because their little darling is ready to accept Christ? So you set up this meeting and you get talking with the kid and it is clear they are not ready. Like, they can't even tell you what sin is or how Jesus saves us, not ready. Parents want their kids to follow the Lord, but it has to be the child's decision, not mom and dad's decision. It has to be the kid choosing. And not because their five best friends all raised their hand at the altar call at camp. It's an individual choice for each person, kid or adult. So you have to wait until the child is ready. So it looks a couple different ways. In the church, I beg you, do not do mass altar calls. Please do not do the, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. You want to love Jesus, raise your hand. That's not genuine. That's a peer pressure thing. That is kids not understanding what you're asking, but not wanting to be left out. So if a child expresses to you that they're ready to make a decision, you need to meet with them individually. Now, if you do a mass altar call, you need to then meet with the children individually. I love the way that Centric Kid Camp does this. They're very intentional with it. So they'll do at the end of each night's worship session, they have an altar call. But that's just a, hey, come down and you're going to talk with someone. And if you and your three best friends all walk down together, one, girls and guys, you're going with your same gender counselor. So that alleviates the little preteen girls wanting to talk to their favorite counselor. And you don't get to go with your friends. They're going to separate you because the group mentality is a thing. So whether you're talking about a Sunday morning lesson or a camp experience, if a child expresses that they're ready, meet with them individually. Now, definitely, Kidmin leaders, you need to be giving the gospel and giving it often. You want to tell kids that, hey, if you think you're ready, if you have questions, if you want to talk about this, I am here for you. But you have to wait until the child expresses interest. And if they say that they're ready, you need to set up a meeting with mom and dad or whoever brings them to church. They need to be part of this process. Except for the camp situation, I don't meet with a kid about salvation without their church grown-up present. Now, even at camp, we'll talk at camp, but then we follow up with mom and dad. Now, disclaimer for children who have parents that aren't saved or not active attenders, you still need to go through mom and dad. So many grandparents are the ones leading their children spiritually, but when it comes to decision-making, their hands are tied. I had a little girl who grandparents bring her to church. Grandparents are the only ones doing the spiritual shepherding. And at camp, she accepted Christ. It was a genuine, truly genuine. And we called grandma and grandpa's who she wanted to call at camp. And on the phone, when I talk to grandma, it's a, you got to deal with mom and dad. And thankfully, mom and dad were receptive. And it was a really good conversation when we met them. But grandma and grandpa were moved to tears that mom and dad were willing to talk because they were lost. I had another little girl, another camp, same camp. It was an awesome camp year. Grandma brings him to church. Dad comes to church. Mom, not so much, not together. Set up the meeting with mom and dad. Both of them come. Both of them, sure, she can accept Christ. Yeah, let's follow up in baptism. And it was really cute with that one because the little girl, she's like, hey, can you talk to my dad about being baptized too? And you could tell dad felt a little bit awkward. And I'm like, hey, if he's ready to talk about accepting Christ, let's do it. But you have to go through mom and dad, even if they aren't the ones at church, because they are the decision maker for their children. So if a kid comes to you, they express they're ready to accept Christ, you set up a meeting. And during that meeting with mom and dad, your goal is to see if a child is ready to make that step. That's important. Like I said, I was 5 when I accepted Christ. I don't really remember what little 5-year-old Amber was thinking. I remember my older brother, Derek, he had talked to the pastor, you know, altar call, I'm ready. And so our pastor was over at our house talking on the front porch. He was talking with my brother and my mom. And I remember kind of standing on the side, like playing on the porch. And then I remember that I was being baptized at the same time too, because, well, I want to be a Christian too. Derek's doing it. I should get to do it. That's what I remember. Fast forward to around 13 through, gosh, probably 15, 16, somewhere around those ages, several years. Every Sunday, even though I was a leader in our church, I was leading in children's church, I sang in the adult choir, like I was a leader. Every Sunday during the altar call, I prayed, God, if I'm not really saved, please just move my feet. Don't let my pride get in the way. Just move me up to the altar because I want to make sure I'm genuinely saved. And this doubt all came from not because I doubted who God was or my belief in him, but I just couldn't remember what went through my head when I was five because I was five. And long story short, I was truly saved. I had to talk with my pastor's wife, and it was just fear and doubt because I couldn't remember. So when you're dealing with young kids especially, it's really important to make sure that they really understand that step. So you're in your meeting with the goal of making kids understand. And there's a couple of really important things you need to follow. First of all, do not use yes or no questions. They're bad because you got a 50-50 shot of getting it right. You need to ask kids open-ended questions, and you need to be walking them through via questions, through the Bible, through, hey, what is sin? Who sins? Why is sin a problem? How do we get rid of sin on our own? How can you get rid of sin? You want to kind of trip them up a little and maybe warn them, hey, it's not because I'm mean. This isn't like a school quiz. But I want to make sure that you know what you're asking. My own son, I had the wonderful privilege of leading him to Christ during school one day because we homeschool. And the question time was kind of hard for him because he felt it was I got to get it right. When his heart was there for a long time, he loved God his entire life. But it's important to make sure that they know what it is. Not that every answer has to be perfect, but they need to know what they're asking. They need to know what it means. So don't use yes or no questions. Watch your wording. Abstract words and phrases that, you know, when you speak Christianese, it confuses kids, especially young ones. So I've tried to completely cut asking Jesus in your heart from my speech bank. If you are a fan of the Skit Guys, they have a really funny skit about this with Little Timmy. And he like eats an imaginary little Jesus to get him down in his heart. And it's funny because it's true. So avoid abstract thinking, abstract phrases. And you want them to be consistent all the time that you use them. I know one curriculum I use, they refer to it as to be a child of God. However you choose to use it, kind of keep it consistent and repetitive so that it connects. Don't lead kids' answers either. Yes, we want them to get the answers right when you're asking them these open-ended questions, but you don't want to lead them. It needs to be their answers, their responses, not moms and dads either. So, yeah, just don't lead them. Don't give them any cheater answers. It's okay to wait. It gets awkward. But give kids the time to figure it out because sometimes they know it, but it's just figuring out how to say it. And then lastly, it's okay to tell a child that they need to wait. I've had to do this several times. If they don't understand what they're asking, if they don't understand sin and Jesus' sacrifice, they need to wait because they're not ready to take that step. I had a kid come, and she was a participant at another church of a, well, everybody wants to be saved, right? Let's all get baptized in the pool. And mom was concerned about this, but it happened at a different church with a different family member. And we met, and the child didn't understand sin or salvation or what it meant. She couldn't answer some of the more simpler questions. And I told the child, I'm like, hey, you're not ready to make this profession of faith, but that's okay. So if a child is ready, they've answer these open-ended questions, they show a genuine understanding of what it means to accept Christ. It was their decision. I try to avoid asking, do you want to accept Christ? Because that's leading them. We want it to be them. So you want more open-ended, like, well, why are we meeting today? Why did you want to meet? So it's the child's decision. They understand what they're asking. They understand sin. They understand Jesus. Now what? Well, when a child is ready, I let them pray. I let them make the prayer to become a Christian, because there are no magic words. There's no way to get it right and wrong. It's just telling God your heart that you want to follow him. I usually cry during this point too, because I close us in prayer. And then I resource them. Now, we will enter into the conversation on following up about baptism after they're saved. I cry again. But I want to resource kids because they're starting out as a new believer. My favorite, and honestly, one of, I think, the only ones on the market, is a resource by Lifeway. It's called I'm a Christian Now. They actually have a couple of resources in this brand. There's an older kids and a younger kids version. But I really like it. It's a simple little workbook. And it goes over everything that you all just talked about in your meeting. Everything that you've been talking about in church. But it goes over it again because it sees the need of repetition for kids. So it walks through, hey, this is sin. This is the decision that you just made. But then it continues on to, well, now what? As a Christian, now what? So I'm definitely a big fan of resourcing them. They, of course, get their own special Bible when they're baptized. We write a special note and all that. But what if a kid is not ready? What do you do then? You resource them. When I tell a kid that they're not ready and we need to wait, I always follow it with, but I'm so excited that you are asking questions about God and wanting to learn more. And then depending on the age of the child and kind of where they're at, I decide how to resource them. Leading a child to Christ is one of the most amazing things that we as Kidmen leaders get to do. If you're just starting out, it's a little nerve-wracking, worrying that you're going to mess up or get it wrong. But that's just the awesome part about God. There's not magic words, and we don't have to get things right because God knows their heart. Leading a child to Christ is the most important decision that they will make in their life, and you just might be so blessed that you get to be a part of it. But remember that you're only a small part of their life. Involve mom and dad. They're with their kids with the greatest influence on them every day. So invite mom and dad to be a part of it. Now, in my situation, in my church, the pastor or myself, we have to kind of sign off, so to speak, before a child can be baptized. Now, yes, I completely know that baptism and salvation are completely separate, not the same thing. But in our church, in order for a child to be baptized, they have to go through Miss Amber's Q&A. Because I want to make sure they know what they're asking for. If they've taken that step at home, I'm wanting to confirm that they are saved and they understand. If they haven't taken that step with mom and dad, I lead them to Christ. They make the choice to become a Christian and pray. But I want mom and dad there. I don't want it just to be this special time with Miss Amber, because it should be a special time mom and dad are part of. But it also, another reason I want mom and dad there is I give mom and dad a reminder. Young kids might not remember what they were thinking. They might, like little 5-year-old Amber, think, well, my brother's doing it, I should do it too. But mom and dad will remember. They'll remember their kid's heart. They'll remember sitting in that meeting and hearing, yeah, Susie totally understood. She loved God and she understood and she chose to follow him. So if their kids ever question, well, was I truly saved? Did I understand it? Because mom and dad are there, they're hearing the same answers I am, and they're able to encourage their child later in life. So Kidmen leaders, take your role of shepherding very seriously. A child's eternity can be changed. Give the gospel all the time, but don't do mass altar calls. Don't raise your hand if you want to be saved. talk to kids individually and make sure they understand what they're asking for when they take their next step in their walk with Christ. I would love to continue this conversation. If you have questions or need help understanding more, I would love to talk to you. You can find me on Facebook, on Instagram. You can email me. You can go to amberpike.org. And don't forget about the Kidmin Huddle Episode 20 contest. Make sure to tag a friend that you think would love listening to this podcast. I hope you love listening. If you have some friends in the Kidmin, please send them here. Let them listen. And I'm going to pick next week a winner to receive their very own copy of Exploring the Bible Through History. Remember, Kidmin leaders, what you do matters.